Sing choirs of angels, singing. This year, we dreamed of world peace.
We dreamed of deep breaths and restful sleep.
We dreamed of love that lasts and suffering that passes.
We dreamed of doors open wide and a cure to disease.
We dreamed because to dream is to believe.
For to dream is to hope. To dream is to see.
So make room in your being to dream yet again
of a world without fear and a God that draws near.
For it is almost Christmas.
Love is almost here.
May we dream to see and hope to believe. Let us worship Holy God.
In the beginning, God dreamed of a beautiful world. In Egypt, the Israelites dreamed of freedom.
In the wilderness, the people dreamed of safety. In Jerusalem, the people dreamed of a Messiah. In Bethlehem, the shepherds and wise men dreamed of a new beginning. Then, several years later, Jesus walked this earth and dreams came true. The sick were healed. The poor had food. The forgotten and ignored were seen. The children were welcomed. Everyone was invited to the table, and the world has never been the same. So tonight, we are those who dream. Tonight, we dream the same dreams of our ancestors before us. Tonight, we dream of justice and mercy, of love and kindness, of peace and hope. Tonight, we dream of a God that draws near to us out of unfailing love. May this candle be a reminder that there will be a day when every dream will be fulfilled. And until then, we will be those who dream. Let us worship, Holy God.
A Christmas Poem by Steve Garness Holmes. God begins with a musical idea and then sings it. The song shines in the darkness. Everything in this universe is God's song. It's a love song. In Jesus, we hear the melody, clear, sweet, and strong, like a mother's lullaby, holding her troubled child. A strange melody in a new key, but one that resonates deep in our souls, because we too are God's singing. Listen for God singing the world into being. Look for the light shining in the music. Notice this cosmic song, this act of creation, rising in you, unfolding, radiating, shining in the darkness. The true light that enlightens everyone is coming into the world.
Infant holy, infant lowly, for God's been a cattle stall, oxen low. Christ the baby's Lord of all, swift of wing, angels.
Our reading from Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who God favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch or keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Mary, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
That was beautiful. So beautiful. So just a little behind the scenes look, trying to record the Christmas Eve message from home creates tears. That's just the way it is. It's just different. It's just different. It's a daunting order to fill for myself, for God, for all of you. So after 5 times trying to record, I just decided I have to put this on the tape. And then maybe we'll cut it later. But actually, it's fitting for the story that I'm going to start with. It actually is. So here we go. There is a theologian. His name was Reinhold Niebuhr. And he was a deeply influential Protestant thinker in the 20th century. I grew up seeing my pastor father reading Niebuhr's books all the time. I have those books now in my library. Much of the writings of Reinhold Niebuhr feel really daunting to me. They're very slow going, like Catherine Keller, actually. I read a few sentences and I have to digest them. Then I look at the clock and another 30 minutes has gone by. So this week I read something Reinhold Niebuhr wrote and I was completely caught off guard because I understood it immediately. On Christmas, Reinhold Niebuhr said this. He preferred to go to a church where there was no sermon, where the liturgy and the music carried the whole message and not the preacher. Why? Because no preacher is up to it, he said. Music, art, and drama are far better than a sermon on Christmas. I have to 100%, a million times a million, to the trillionth power, agree. The words for tonight, they're so familiar for many of us, not for everyone, but for many of us. Some of us can recite them, right? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. In that region, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "What? Do not be afraid." Even I can recite all that. Author Kathleen Norris says that when it comes to the most familiar of words, the danger is that familiarity sometimes dulls or like diminishes words' impact. And then in her writings, she tells the story of a New Testament scholar friend of hers who spent 10 years of her life working on one small passage of scripture. Her friend knew that the passage in Hebrew, she knew it in Greek, she knew it in Latin, she knew that passage in German and in English, finally, and she had written a whole book-length scholarly dissertation on that one passage. She could recite that passage upside down, backwards, forwards, all of that. And then, one time, after all of that study, after all of those years, she happened to hear the passage chanted by Benedictine monks. And then, in that moment, she heard things in the passage she had never, ever heard before. She heard it more deeply in her heart. She told Kathleen Norris that was a huge moment of revelation for her. You see, I think that describes what happens sometimes when a lot of us hear certain songs. For some, it may be Leonard Cohen's Alleluia. For others, it might be the Hallelujah Chorus. For me, it's May You Find a Light, or Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, or What Child Is This? Or Love Came Down at Christmas, who am I kidding? It's pretty much anything our music team shares, or the poetry that Chloe creates. It's the beauty of the mosaic that Jan made and lovingly crafted for all of our community. Music, art, drama, they are far better than a sermon on Christmas Eve. And that's because they connect the story to life in a visceral way. It gets us. Well, it gets me. It gets into us, and it cuts through all of those defenses we put up, and it speaks to us deeply and profoundly. When my children were little, and I was in the throes of rearing three young kids, I was serving churches in the Napa Valley. One Advent and Christmas season, the theme of our worship included an invitation to bring our nativity sets to worship. An important norm was broken that year when Thomas the Tank Engine and Lego figurines were introduced to Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. And some people in the church didn't think they fit at first, but we all soon realized that everyone at every level longs to connect their life to the story, to God's story. It's the human condition, that longing, that feeling, to connect our story, our deepest love, our most powerful and painful grief, our fears and disappointments. 2020. Our hopes and our dreams, to connect all of who we are with that story. We want to bundle up all that is within us, spoken or most often not, our secrets and dreams that are held deep within our hearts and souls, and place them at the manger. What are you bringing to the manger this Christmas Eve? We would love for you to share that in the comments. Doesn't have to be anything spectacular, one word or a phrase. What are you bringing to the manger this Christmas Eve? At the core of it all, the story is so simple. Two people, one of them pregnant, on a long and arduous journey, and a donkey. I really like the way our Jamie tells it in Godly Play. She said it like Mary was just about to have a baby, and it's really hard to walk when you're about to have a baby. True fact. Mary walked as far as she could, but when she couldn't take another step, she got up on the donkey and rode the donkey. But it is also really hard to ride a donkey when you're about to have a baby. Mary rode as long as she could, and when she could not ride any longer, she got down and she walked. She rode and she walked. And the threesome, Mary, Joseph, and the donkey, they must have been about the last people coming up the road to Bethlehem that night. And then Jamie lights the candle for the Holy Family, and we enjoy the light. We see the light. We feel the heat of the light. And then Jamie says, "Watch." And she snuffs the candle out. And the flame, she says, Look at it. Do you see how the light has changed? It used to be in just one place, but now it is everywhere. And we watch as the smoke dissipates into the air. It's a beautiful story. The beauty is that it is a story about a family, and it is the story of God coming into the world in the birth of that baby. And that same baby grows up and lives and teaches and loves and suffers and dies and rises again in the most mysterious of ways. Pretty much as mysterious as the way he was born. The story tells us that birth, every birth, carries with it the dream of what is possible when God moves into the neighborhood. But sometimes it is hard to enter a mystery that is as big as Christmas. And sometimes people can walk right through and not even know it is there. We completely miss the mystery that is all around us. It's like when we wake from a dream. Think about that. For a moment, the dream is with you in really vivid detail, but quickly it fades and you get on with your day. Brushing your teeth, washing your face. By the time breakfast rolls in, you can't really recall the details that only minutes before were so clear we could feel the feelings the dream brought with it. And then we just give in to the temptation to fill the forgotten scenes with other things, and we brush it off and we say something like, well, that was just a dream. That is when Christmas becomes nothing more than a family reunion, or Easter becomes nothing more than brunch followed by an egg hunt, and Pentecost a reason to wear a red t-shirt to church. Maybe that is why this year might actually, I've been realizing, be the most holy Christmas I've ever experienced. Because it doesn't have any of the trappings. The nightmare that is COVID, the racist myth that liberty was the impulse that founded this nation instead of the genocide of Black, Indigenous, people of color, and an administration that loves only naked power grabbing instead of loving its citizens. It's all been laid bare. Friends, it is time to dream our way back to that manger. That manger where divine power enters the world. The political reality at the time of Jesus' birth has many points of contact, actually, with ours. Think about it. Jesus is born at the time of a census. We just had ours here. Jesus is born in a barn. He has no home. Evictions are on the rise as political powers fail to agree on necessary legislation to stop those evictions and to extend COVID relief. Jesus is a baby perceived as a threat to political stability. Right now, immigrant children are being turned back from our border and live under tarps in makeshift camps. Those of us who have heard God's story, felt God's story, experienced it in our bodies, are called to give our witness, to tell it now to all who have ears to hear. And by the way, for the record, our stories are not pipe dreams. They are announcements of what we know to be true, of what we understand of the mysterious revelation of Jesus as the way to a different life and a different future, which we co-create with God. God cannot make the dream come to be without dreamers like you and like me. For as the poet Arthur O'Shaughnessy wrote so long ago, we are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams. Each age is a dream that is dying or one that is coming to birth. A wondrous thing of our dreaming, unearthly, impossible seeming. Soldier, king, and peasant are working together in one, till our dream shall become their present and their work in the world be done. So tonight, may we dream our way back to the manger and then forward into the mystery of Christmas.
And thank you, Pastor Linda, for staying with the depth and the vulnerability of the message that God has placed within your heart and sharing that with us this night of worship. Tonight, I want to invite us to continue to move in worship together through a time of prayer, which I hope will invite us ever deeper into much of what Pastor Linda has just named, dreaming our way back to the manger and in so doing forward to the mystery of Christmas in this moment. Our prayer this night will be a song shared by our music team called Christ Child Lullaby. This song is thought to have been written by a Roman Catholic priest in the middle part of the 1800s. It was originally composed as a Scottish Gaelic carol with 29 verses. Our musicians will share just a few of those with us this night. And our invitation is to join with them and with the generations who have gone before us as we approach the manger once more. So may we dream our way back to that manger and forward to the mystery of Christmas and prayer through song. Let us be in a spirit of prayer together.
Oh dear, the eye that softly looks. Oh dear, the heart that fondly loves. Though but a tender babe thou art, the graces all grown up with thee. Oh dear, the wind that pulls the trees. Oh dear, the rain that softly falls. Though but a tender babe thy art, the graces all grown up with thee. Oh sweet.
Dreaming our way back to the manger and forward to the mystery of Christmas, we are invited this night to respond to the power and the hope and the mystery of God's love being born once more into the world by joining with the generations who have gone before us in the radical act of generosity. This is an invitation to reach in love to our neighbors. Our Christmas offering here at the table this year will help two important ministries. Half of our Christmas offering this year will go directly to support the Sacramento Food Bank. The other half of our Christmas offering this year will go to help and support those families recovering from the devastating aftermath of the Creek Fire in a little town a few hours south of here called Big Creek, California. So we hope that you'll go to our website, thetableumc.org, to make a gift in support of our Christmas offering. You'll find a link there on our website in the upper right. And as always, if you prefer, it's also possible to give by text. Simply text any amount that you would like to offer to the number that's appearing there on your screen. And finally, we are also partnering in this Christmas season with Mercy Peddlers to share Christmas gifts of survival gear with our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness. We will share a link in the comments, and we invite you to copy that and to go now or when you're ready to reach in love to our unhoused neighbors by purchasing gifts of survival gear. When you check out, simply check the box to have the gifts delivered to Deirdre's registry address. The gifts that you purchase then, along with all of the others from our community, will be delivered to Deirdre and Judy's home and then distributed to our unhoused neighbors by Mercy Peddlers. So thank you. Thank you for reaching in love, for joining with God in the work of Christmas this season. We will close our Christmas Eve worship this night with Silent Night. Silent Night has closed the Christmas Eve worship for as long as I can remember. The lights dim and the music begins, and then each of us in the fullness and the beauty of the sanctuary, holding a taper candle, pass the light of Christ from one to another until the whole room is filled with the beauty of the light dancing in the mystery of the darkness. And I can't pretend that it's possible to recreate the depth and the power of that feeling in online worship. But I do trust that tonight we are celebrating something miraculous, something that most people have thought through the generations is not real, not really possible. The gift of God's love being born into the world. Emmanuel, God with us, a light has come down. And so I want to invite you, wherever you are experiencing this online worship, if it's possible to find a candle, I want to invite you to do that. Wherever you are, I want to invite you to just dim the lights as our music team begins to lead us in song of Silent Night. As you feel led, I hope that you'll join your voice with theirs. I want to invite you, I want to invite all of us to take time to notice the simple beauty of the candle in front of you. To notice the light dancing in the mystery and the beauty of the darkness. To take time, to take a moment to feel the warmth of that. We are gathered together as one, even while physically apart. And so on this night, may we dream our way back to the manger and into the depth and the mystery of incarnation. Let us join with the dreamers of so many generations as we sing together Silent Night. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Jesus, Lord. Mm-hmm.